The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always.
See all of you here with us this morning. Count your many blessings. I would say we need to pray about our blessings too. We'll mention that here momentarily. I certainly had planned to preach this last Sunday, and then we had our time of loss, and I appreciate the ones who filled in for me on Sunday. I hear that guy who preached Sunday afternoons trying to come after my job. So if you were here Sunday afternoon, it was me somehow. Modern technology. So a video of one of my previous sermons. But I do appreciate everybody for helping us out last week. And certainly this is something that's on a lot of our minds this time of year, the idea of thankfulness. A few days ago we had Thanksgiving, and that is my favorite holiday, and I think a lot of people, it's probably their favorite holiday as well. And families all across this land gathered around their kitchen tables to partake of a feast and enjoy the best food of the year, in my opinion, reminisce and watch football and perhaps play a little football. I know some of us did that, and I'm still a little bit sore from that the other day. And we kick off the holiday season, if you will. Think about all the various holidays that our country celebrates, and this is a very meaningful one. I appreciate the spirit behind it. When I was a kid, it was largely in part because of the food. I enjoyed the food, and I still enjoy the food. As I get older, though, I realize that there's so much meaning behind this particular day, and we ought to be thankful all year. And it helps remind us of that. So I appreciate the original intent of this day. I did write an article last week that was to go with this sermon. So if you still have your bulletin from last week, it pretty much goes right in line with the sermon for this morning. It might add a few extra details for you. And I think that the idea of Thanksgiving is definitely a biblical concept. In fact, this word Thanksgiving appears 28 times in the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testaments, this word thanksgiving. The concept of thankfulness is not only seen throughout the Bible, but also I would say it's crucial to our faithfulness to God. We have to be thankful. If we're not thankful, and if we're not truly meditating on all the things that God has given us and being thankful for it, then we really need to consider that, and we need to do a better job of doing so, because it's very crucial to our faithfulness to God. I want us to consider this morning a few different aspects of our lives in which we can be thankful, and we must be thankful. And the first is thankfulness in song. We just sang a good song about thankfulness, counting our blessings, naming them one by one. Did you know that every time you sing a spiritual song, you ought to be expressing some thankfulness to God? Hopefully we're all familiar with Colossians 3, verse 16, which says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That idea of grace in your hearts to the Lord is the idea of thankfulness, appreciating the grace of God and expressing that in song. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we're teaching and admonishing one another in these songs. And part of that would be thankfulness in our songs. But I want you to read the next verse. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed," that would include our talk, our speech, and it would include our actions. "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus by his authority." And notice this, "giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Everything we do, our words, our actions, our songs, they ought to be done in such a way that we are doing them in the name of the Lord and we are expressing thankfulness in our hearts toward God. When I sing in the worship services or outside the worship services, we need to be singing throughout our week, really. But when I sing, I need to be reflecting on the grace of God, the power of God unto salvation. the majesty of God, the joy that I have in Christ. I need to be reflecting on these things. And that we are forever indebted to God because of what He has done for us. I need to be thankful for Him. A companion passage to Colossians 3 verse 16 would be Ephesians 5 verse 19. And certainly we quote these passages often about singing. And by the way, without accompaniment of instrumental music. We quote these passages, Colossians 3, 17, or 16 and Ephesians 5, 19. Ephesians 5, 19 says, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And look at the next verse. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so both of these passages that have to do with singing and teaching and admonishing one another in our songs, also the very next verse, both of them indicate the importance of being thankful to God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Well, how are we going to do that? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips, whether that be our singing, or whether that be what we're about to talk about, our prayer, the fruit of our lips ought to be expressing thanks to God. Thanks to His name. Giving thanks is deeply tied to our singing, and it is also deeply tied to prayer. When was the last time that you thanked God for something? For anything? Think about that. Hopefully you've thanked God for things recently, very soon. Hopefully in your last prayer you thanked God for something. Have you thanked God for a sacrifice of His Son? Have you thanked God for the blessings that we have in life, both the physical and the spiritual? Have you thanked God for your family and health and all these different things? You should be expressing thanks to God. And we all should be expressing thanks to God. I think a lot of times we get very focused on the supplication part of prayer. And rightfully so, we should be offering supplication to God. That is, begging God to help us through our struggles, our trouble, our difficulties in life, helping us with our sickness and encouraging us and all these things, supplications to God. We focus on that, and we should. But is that the only focus in our prayer? Because if it is, then we're missing something that's very important. Not only should we be having supplications to God in prayer, asking Him to help us, number one, also, we should be expressing repentance and confession of sin and asking forgiveness of sin in our prayers. We don't need to forget that. And number three, we need to be thanking God in our prayers. And that's the focus of this point here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, notice this, by prayer and supplication, that's that idea of begging God to help us, with thanksgiving. So in everything, I should be praying to God, supplicating the ear of God, Father, please help me through this, in everything, but also expressing thanksgiving in everything. And so if all we're praying for is please help the sick and please help this and that, which is very important, but if that's all we're praying for and we're not also thanking God for things, then we're missing a very important part of prayer. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Thanksgiving is just as important in the Christian's life as this prayer and supplication. I would say both a general spirit or attitude of thankfulness and also expressing thankfulness in our prayers. Notice this, Colossians 4 verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Again, directly tied to our prayers is the idea of continuing in prayer, but also in thanksgiving. When is the last time that you uttered the words, "Thank you," to God in prayer? Can you think of the last time you've uttered those words? I hope that you can, and certainly, likely you have, but it may be the case that you've forgotten that. It may be the case, you know what, I can't remember the last time I've said thank you to God. If that be the case, then we need to make sure that we are getting that right. We're once again thanking God for everything that He has done for us. Sometimes people are not as thankful as they should be. Speaking of those who are not thankful, you know, it used to be unheard of in this country for a family to gather around a table and partake of a meal without first expressing thanks for that meal. It used to be unheard of. You watch some of these old shows like the Waltons and Andy Griffith and all these shows, you're going to see them praying, and they're not ashamed of it. They're praying before that meal. What about today? What about our own tables today? Do we pray to God? Do we thank Him for what He has given us? Do we partake of that big feast? Sometimes it don't happen. I don't know if we're just too fast-paced or if we're just not thankful or what, but it's gone the way of the dinosaur in a lot of households in this country. Unthankful for the food. And it's very sad. The Bible addresses this in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4, Paul is dealing with an error that was about to come about. These people were going to be trying to teach people to not allow certain foods and so forth. And Paul, in dealing with this error, 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4, says, "...commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving." And so we receive these meats, these meals, this food. We receive it with what? With thanksgiving. "Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." When's the last time you saw somebody say, "I'm refusing that meal because somebody hasn't said a prayer asking, you know, praying thankfulness for the food"? We don't see that. And yet Paul says nothing's to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Finally, in regards to prayer, I want to turn our attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Isn't that something? Looking at the grace of God that we should have access to if we're faithful Christians, faithful children of His. So we examine this grace of God as we walk in the light, and that abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And so when we express thankfulness to God for His grace and for everything else that He's given us, it redounds to the glory of God. God receives glory when we express gratitude to God. And so if we're praying honestly and not doing it in a pharisaical kind of way, but in genuine gratitude to God, and people see that prayer and they realize, wow, this person is very thankful for what God has given him, then God receives glory in that. How many times does humanity itself take credit for the things that society has given us today? I want you to think about the light bulb for a moment. We've got a whole bunch of them in this room giving us light. Otherwise, we'd have to rely on the daylight to light this room. Think about the light bulb. Who do you think of when you think about the light bulb? Think of Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison gave us the light bulb, right? He invented the light bulb, but who gave Thomas Edison the mind that was able to invent that light bulb. God did. And so we need to think deeper. We need to think about God who gives us these things. Politician X or politician Y does this good thing for the economy or for health care or for what have you. Who really is the one who gives every good and perfect gift? God does. James 1 verse 17. And so we need to remember to be thankful. We need to realize that God is the one from whom all blessings flow. Not politicians, not inventors, not corporations and so forth. God is the ultimate one who gives us the blessings. I want you to notice also the context of 2 Corinthians 4 verse 15. For which cause we faint not, but through our, or though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day for our light affliction. The context of this thankfulness that is to redound to the glory of God is the affliction that Christians were facing and still face to some extent today. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, they're carnal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so even with this light affliction, which is light in comparison to the glory in heaven and the wonderful things in store in heaven for us, light affliction compared to those things, but it's still affliction. And yet, even with affliction, we must express thankfulness to God. We need to remember this, and we need to always offer the words, thank you, in our prayers. But finally, I want you to consider thankfulness in offerings. Now, this is something interesting that I had never realized before until preparing this lesson. And that is that in the Old Testament, there were actually offerings referred to as thanksgiving offerings. Now, you say, what are thanksgiving offerings? Hopefully, we're familiar with the Old Testament offerings. Certainly, surely we remember the sin offerings and the trespass offerings and peace offerings and so on and so forth. But thanksgiving offerings. You look up this word thanksgiving in a concordance, you'll see every time it comes about in the Bible, and lo and behold, sometimes it says thanksgiving offerings or an offering of thanksgiving. What is that? If you read Leviticus chapter 7, you will read about these thanksgiving offerings, and it appears that they're another name for or perhaps a certain type of peace offering. Perhaps a synonym for peace offering or a specific type of peace offering is the idea there in Leviticus chapter 7. These were not sin offerings. These were in addition to the offerings for sin. And so you had to offer these certain offerings because you had sin in your life and trespasses, but then also you could offer these peace offerings, and some of them were thanksgiving offerings that are in addition to the sin offerings. With these Old Testament offerings, and you read through, you'll see a whole lot of detail. God wanted it a very specific way. There was all kinds of rules and regulations on how they were to accomplish these offerings, and so we see a great deal of ceremony concerning them. But also, what I think sometimes we may overlook is the idea that some of these offerings were eaten. Leviticus 7, verses 11 through 13. Notice this. Leviticus 7, verses 11 through 13. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cakes he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, of his peace offerings, and then notice verse 15, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. So some of these offerings were being eaten by the priest and others. And long ago in the days of Moses, the early Israelites have this concept of thankfulness going hand in hand with these offerings that they were eating. Imagine that. Thankfulness in these particular offerings that were being eaten. Well, obviously we don't have the type of sacrifices that the Israelites had in the Old Testament. We don't have these offerings that are the sin offerings of lambs and things of that nature. Why? Because Christ is our sin offering. Christ, the blood of Christ, is what saves us. He took away those things. We don't have to make those animal offerings anymore, and the meal offerings and so on and so forth. But there's another type of offering we read about in the New Testament, isn't it? Our financial offerings. We give each first day of the week. Is Thanksgiving associated with that? It should be. When we think about what we put in the plate, are we reflecting on being thankful to God? And because we are thankful to Him, it's shown as we offer to God. It should. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, not compulsion. Well, I have to give, and so that's the only reason I'm giving, and I'm not giving much at that. That's not what Paul's teaching here. Yes, we have to give. We're commanded to give, but we ought to be giving not only because we're commanded, but because we want to give to God. And so, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We want to give to Him. And just a few verses down in the same context of our giving, our financial offerings, we read in verses 11 through 15, notice this, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want, the needs of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Paul, in dealing with this offering in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, intimately ties the idea of thankfulness with our giving. And so thankfulness must be reflected when we give a portion back to God. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Thankfulness, thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We can't give back enough to earn what God did for us. We can't give back enough to earn Jesus coming to this world and dying for us. We can't give back enough, but we should try. We should try to express our thanks in giving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And so we need to ask ourselves if we're giving proportionately to how much we appreciate God and what He did for us. I want us to conclude this morning with a couple of things. The first is that in Luke chapter 17, we read of 10 lepers. These 10 lepers come to Christ to be cleansed of their leprosy. Jesus did cleanse those 10 lepers, and only one of those lepers came back. Jesus responds to this in verses 17 through 19. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger, the Samaritan, by the way. And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What does that say about the faith of the other nine? They didn't come back. They didn't thank Christ for what he had done for them. They received benefit from Christ. He went ahead and healed them, but they weren't thankful. They didn't come back. They didn't express gratitude. And then finally, as we reflect on thankfulness this morning, I want us to think about some of the things for which we are to be thankful. Basic necessities of life, food, water, shelter, the air that we breathe, this world that God has created for us. Are we thankful for those things? Do we express thanks for those things? What about the comforts of life? You know, I'm looking at an audience that has a lot of comfortable clothing. I'm looking at padded pews. I'm looking at a well-lit facility. I'm looking into a microphone that can take my low voice and let all of you hear it. We've got a lot of comforts, don't we? We've got a lot of blessings God has blessed us with. Furniture, the appliances that we have, the good, reliable transportation that hopefully we have. You know, I hear Andrew pray sometimes, and one of the things that he'll pray before he goes to sleep, thank you for my toys. Thank you for my backyard. Thank you for our doggy. Isn't that wonderful? I hope he never loses that, because we need to be thankful for the things that we need. We need to be thankful for the comforts that God has given us, the things that we don't necessarily need, but he still gives us so much. We need to be thankful for our freedoms, this great nation that we live in. Christians in China, and I don't know how many members of the true New Testament Lord's Church there are in China, I don't know. But using that term broadly, very broadly, those who believe in some form of quote-unquote Christianity in China are being persecuted very heavily right now. That government, that communistic government, is cracking down, and they are trying to stamp out religion. And there are a lot of people who express belief to some extent, and certainly we don't know how many are truly followers of Christ, but people are expressing this belief and they're being persecuted very severely right now. And there's many other places that people are being persecuted very severely for speaking the name of Christ. We have not dealt with much of that here. And I hope that we don't deal with that here. We need to be praying that our country will continue to be free. We also need to be thankful for our country. What about our family, our spouses, those of us who are married, our children, those of us who have children, our parents, our siblings, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, our grandparents? On and on we could go. Our friends, are we thankful for these people? Do we express to them that we're thankful for them? Do we express to God that we're thankful for them? But most importantly, our spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1, verse 3, all the spiritual blessings that are located where? In Christ. The Bible that God gave us to communicate His will to us. His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent to live and to teach and to die for us so that we could have hope of going to heaven one day. Are we thankful for that? What about His church? His church that in His magnificent mercy and the plan that He had, the church, the ones that are supposed to be here encouraging one another, exhorting one another to continue to be faith, faithful? Are we thankful for the church? Do we want to attend faithfully? Do we want to be here for one another, the church? Are we expressing gratitude and thankfulness? I hope that we are. And truly, we should be thankful for all these things. We can be. We must be thankful for all these things. I hope that as you consider your life this morning, you truly are thankful. You express thanks to God in your songs, in your prayers, in your financial offerings. You truly are indebted to God, and you express gratitude to God. It may be the case that you've overlooked thankfulness in your life. It may be the case that you need to repent of that this morning. I hope that you will. It may be the case that you need to repent in such a way that publicly you need to come forward and express sin in your life and confess that and ask God to forgive you because you've got public sin in your life. You need to do that this morning if that's the case. It may be the case that there's someone in this audience who has never obeyed the gospel, has never believed in Christ, and in response to that belief, repented of your sins, confessed faith in Christ, and put on Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. Have you not done that? If you're delaying, if you're waiting, it may be coming a day when you've waited too long. It's going to be too late. So don't delay. Think about your life. Think about your thankfulness for what we are in Christ and the blessings that we have. Reflect upon it. And if you need to make changes this morning, then please do so as together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.